This is your host, Michelle, and you're listening to Old TV with a New Twist. Let's see what classic television show we're watching and talking about this week. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 34 of Old TV with a New Twist. Today, we're here to talk about a sitcom called Out of This World that was requested by our listener, Mary. And here to talk about it, he's here for his seventh time, is my son, Caleb. Caleb, how are you?
Seventh time, second Mary suggestion, just to let you know. This is another Mary suggestion. It's terrible.
Man, you come in for Mary right away.
Well, it's terrible, Mary. Yeah, terrible taste.
Well, in television shows.
In television shows.
Oof, Mary, buckle up if you're listening. All right. This show, Out of This World, I had never heard of when Mary suggested it, but it is available on YouTube. This show ran for four seasons.
Jeez. Four seasons. What the...
From 1987 to 1991. What Caleb did say to me was, you know, coming in, we didn't watch the pilot episode. So pretty much, though, the opening theme you just heard explains it a little. The mom fell in love with this guy and he turned out to be an alien.
Right.
And she had this child, but he had to go back to his planet. And the child didn't know she was technically an alien until she turned 14. The pilot episode is her 14th birthday. And that's when she got her powers. And her powers are she can freeze time or she can shapeshift into different things. And she keeps getting different powers added on, but you get the gist. So that's basically it. Teenager named Evie Ethel Garland discovers she has supernatural powers when she learns her birth father is an alien. The episode we watched is called New Kid on the Block, and it's from season four, and it's the first episode of that season, and it ran on October 6th, 1990. Very close to when we're recording this, almost exactly 31 years ago to the day.
It aged well.
No, it didn't.
aged like whole milk.
Okay, so... The opening theme, Swing on a Star. I actually like the song Swing on a Star.
Good song from that show we watched when I was a kid. Remember, what was it, Humpty Dumpty and all those? Remember the cartoons? Would you like to swing
the
on a
Disney,
star?
Yeah. That's right, yeah. The Disney cartoons. And it was wonderfully done by Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby. So, Okay, let's get into this episode. It starts with Evie and her best friend, Lindsay. And they are sitting in a very bright neon... diner malt shop.
It looked like the Saved by the Bell diner.
It
might have been the same set.
It really did.
Exactly like it.
Oh, look what my next line in my notes is. Looks like from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, exactly like it.
But it was just bright. And my gosh, the clothes and the hair screamed late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. The hair was all crimped and
everything was neon.
There was no doubting what era we were in. It was dated to look at. Definitely.
Oh, no, absolutely.
You know what I noticed? It was directed. Did you notice who it was directed by when the credits were coming? Scott Baio.
Oh, Jesus.
Chachi.
How old would he have been then? He wouldn't have been very... He was probably in his...
In his 20s.
Mid-20s.
Maybe late 20s. I don't know. I didn't look up how old he was, but it might have been one of his earlier directorial debuts.
Might have been one of his only.
Yeah, if they looked at this, nobody else hired him. I don't know much about directing. It might be the script. I don't know. I know with Small Wonder, a big part problem you had was the casting. The people were not good actors. These actors were better than the actors in Small Wonder. Can we give it that?
Yeah. I mean, okay. Yeah, the context of the dialogue was still just awful, but at least it was delivered decently.
Yeah, the actors weren't as bad. So it has that going. Well, we've got an absolute comic genius in The Waiter.
Oh my God, that was terrible. That was cringy. It was cringy comedy. It was like slapstick.
Well, explain, what did he do?
He'd come up and ask for a milkshake, and then he'd start convulsing.
He said, would you like a shake? And if they said yes, he just... And he even wound up on the ground convulsing at one point.
All right.
So just to introduce you to the kind of humor we're talking about here, people. And the main character, Evie, is telling her friend Lindsay that she got a letter from her boyfriend, Chris, at college. So we learn that her boyfriend went off to college, and in walks this guy into the diner. And this is a nice looking young man. He's very nice looking. He is Jeffrey Douglas Cummings from Boston. He's the new kid on the block that the show is named. It says, you know, new kid on the block. And her friend whips out a dossier on him and tells everything about him, his full name, where he's from, his parents, whatever. He's got a birthmark, the shape of New Zealand on his thigh. She's listing everything about him. The friend already knows about a new guy in town. So they talk to him. He's very buttoned up with his khakis and a nice looking, you know, shirt. And he's dressed normal for this show.
Yeah, well, he's dressed more just, he's not dressed loud.
And he just seems a little more, maybe wealthy and intelligent and not goofy. I don't know. He presents well. Let's just say he presents himself well. So he comes in and Evie, our main character slash alien, offers to show Jeff around town. But he says, okay, but I just have to be home in time for the evening news.
Right.
And the girls want to appear smart. So they say, oh, we always watch the evening news, don't we, Lindsay? And Lindsay says, yeah, every morning.
And genius. Then, comic genius.
Yeah. So then Jeff asks them, who's your favorite anchor person? Because he's really into the news. Right,
he loves the news.
And Lindsay, remember who she says? You probably won't know. Downtown Julie Brown.
I don't know.
Do you know who Downtown Julie Brown is?
She was like a singer, right?
No.
I thought she was
She was one of the original VJs, the on MTV.
Oh, okay.
Which it's 19.
No, that makes sense.
This was
that
in the 80s / 90s, yeah. So Jeff leaves to go gas up his car because he says he doesn't let the tank get below 7/8 of a tank. That's dead there. I mean, 7/8. Okay. So her friend says, but wait a minute. If you go take him around town, that's kind of like a date. And that means you're cheating on Chris. But Evie says.
They decided to talk to other people.
Talk to other people.
Yes.
So in walks Chris, her boyfriend.
Shocker.
Jeff goes out the door. Chris comes in the door. Well, as soon as Evie sees Chris, she claps her hands to freeze the frame, freeze the world, because she can do that. When she claps her hands, everything freezes around her. So this is her way to get herself.
This is back at her house.
No. This is in the diner. He walks in right after Jeff walks out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because that's the first time she freezes.
Yes. And she freezes everything in the diner. But I have to say here, and it's so funny that Mary's the one that suggested this show, that when Chris comes in, it's the actor Steve Burton with a blonde mullet. He's very young here, and you don't know who Steve Burton is.
He looks like the guy from Saving Private Ryan. He looked like a young version of him, but I looked it up and it wasn't him. At first, I thought it was him.
Yeah, well, he is Jason Quartermain Morgan on General Hospital.
That's who he is. I was like, where is that face familiar from? Where is it familiar from? Now you said that now. Yeah. I remember from you watching.
You
General
grew
Hospital.
Up with me watching now, that, and you had to have seen him on your screen.
Yeah, that's okay.
And Mary and I are both General Hospital fans. So,
okay.
As a matter of fact, I texted her when I watched it. I'm like, do you know did Jason Morgan's on this show?
And I guess he was on it for all four seasons.
I think. And actually, this show ended in 1991, and he started on General Hospital like in 93 or something. So,
Jesus.
And he's still on it. He's been on it forever.
People still watch those?
Soap operas?
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like they had to take a hit, huh?
They, you know, at one time there was like 14 or 15 soap operas on the air. We're down to 4 now. And General Hospital's the last one hanging on ABC. And I'm hanging on with it, even though I stopped watching during the pandemic.
It's
going to
be a big day for you.
That's going to be tough.
I just can't see many people hanging on to those shows. Like, there's people don't have time during the day. It comes on every day.
Well, yeah, but you're able to fast forward through it. And remember, I'm retired.
Yeah, and I have kids. I'm like, I don't have an hour to do it.
Yeah. I'm lucky I got you here right now.
You are lucky. I bet my kids are about to wake up.
I know. Yes, and he's doing this very early in the morning, y'all. So thank you, Caleb. Yeah. Anyway, so we went off on a little soap opera tangent there. But anyway, so she uses her magic to freeze frame so she can get out of a sticky situation. And she just leaves. Like, Chris walks in and sees her and her friend sitting in the booth. And then she claps her hands and leaves. And when they all wake up, whatever she does to wake them up, she's gone. And he's like, hi, Evie. And he's looking at the chair where she was sitting and it's empty. He's like, what?
So I'm guessing he has, based on their interactions, no one knows.
Except her mom. And her Uncle Bino.
But right.
He just leaves. She goes and meets Jeff and she's showing him around town. We go to the home and we meet the mom, who's the mayor of the town, by the way. You don't know in this episode, but her mom's the mayor. Her Uncle Bino, who is her mom's brother, and the police chief, Kyle, who, why is he even in this?
I think he's trying to make a pass.
Get on with mom.
He's trying to make a pass at the mayor.
And this is a scene that is totally goofy. Uncle Bino has invented something to keep kids from fighting in the backseat of the car.
Oh my gosh, this is another cringy moment. Just a complete... You better knock it the hell off. What does he say?
The invention, which is totally genius, is called Santa on a Stick. That's and Santa tells the kids to cut the crap.
Cut the crap. Kind of made me giggle, but also super silly. Just super silly.
You just hold Santa up over your shoulder, and he says to the kids, if you want anything at Christmas time, cut the crap. Would that make your two daughters stop squabbling in the backseat?
No. If they're in a mood, game over.
I don't know. Last week, cookies and some chocolate milk helped me with both of them back down.
The thing is, you have to keep them supplied with treats.
Yeah.
And it only goes so far. Like, you can, I think you got maybe a maximum of like 30, 40 minutes. And then after that, it's not good anymore.
Chocolate milk does work miracles with your kids, though.
Chocolate milk.
It doesn't. Anyway, so the mom and the uncle and the sheriff or whoever he is are talking about the Santa on a stick, and the doorbell rings, and who shows up is Chris, the boyfriend, coming over to the house to find Evie because she disappeared from the restaurant or the malt shop, whatever it is. So they're like, did you flunk out of college? Now, he looks like he's kind of like a goofball.
He's like a just California surfer boy type.
Yes. Empty up in the head a little.
Yeah, the male dits.
Yeah. They asked him, did you flunk out of college after just 3 weeks? So he's only been there 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. In Nebraska is where he was. And he said, no. He quit and he transferred to the local community college when he found out that Nebraska didn't have a surf team.
Right.
Surfing in Nebraska. Okay. So Chris is back. What happens is Evie comes home with Jeff.
Right.
The boy she's showing around. But when she opens the door, she sees Chris. So she shuts it real quick and she tries to get rid of Jeff, saying, that's the end of the tour. I'll, you know, see you tomorrow or whatever. But the mom comes out. She freezes everybody again.
Right.
But then she unfreezes the mom. And the mom says, what are you doing? And the mom sees the guy and she's like, oh, you're with another guy and Chris is here. What are you going to do? You know, and she says, I'll just tell Chris the truth tomorrow. That she wants to see other people.
Yeah, she said, I'll just tell him the truth tomorrow, and then runs.
So then we're back at the malt shop the next day with her friend Lindsay. Same booth, same malt shop. And her friend tells her, you don't need to say anything. After all, Chris is in college and Jeff is in high school. So what are the chances that they're going to meet?
And what are the chances?
In walks Chris and Jeff together. And Chris says, look who I met. And it's kind of a funny scene where this is all revealed because they both think they're dating her. So they both go to sit with her in the booth and they're looking at each other. He's like, that's my girlfriend. No,
that's
it's my girlfriend.
That's awfully presumptuous of the man who got showed around town yesterday.
Yeah, she's my girl.
I don't know what happened off camera.
That's true. We didn't see him for a while.
We didn't see him for a little while.
Sealing that deal.
A little necking going on.
You know what I thought of? This may not be relevant to you, but when she said, what are the chances they're going to meet? And they come in, hello, here they come in, the two of them in the door, like buddies. It reminded me of Lenny and Squiggy on Laverne and Shirley. Do you remember how Lenny and Squiggy would always make this entrance right at the moment?
Made a little entrance. Yeah, there was a...
It was always at a moment, appropriate moment for them to come in. And this was the perfect moment for these two to come in. So they're like, no, she's my girl. No, she's my girl. And she's like, you can't be fighting over me like that. And Steve Burton says, no, we need to give her the dignity that she deserves in this. Let's flip a coin.
Yeah. Now this starts. And when this all goes on and this whole thing's like, oh my goodness.
Now we see something here. She's back at home with her mom and saying, oh, they were fighting over me. So she goes home to cry to her mom about it. But she's also talking to her dad.
Right. This is the first time we see the crystal.
What did you think of that whole thing? Like,
what? This dude is capable of interstellar travel, and the only way they can communicate or he sees him is through the crystal. See, that's where I'm a little lost, is it being a later season. I didn't get to see the dynamic. She can
only talk to her dad through this crystal.
Right.
And so it's sitting on a coffee table and they're talking to him. Now, interesting fact, did you recognize the voice of the dad? It's a very famous actor.
No.
It didn't ring a bell to you at all? The guy who did it as a favor to the producers, because he knew the people who were producing this show. And he said, yeah, I'll do the voice, but leave my name out of the credits. Guess, I wonder why, you know? It was Burt Reynolds. That was the voice of the dad.
Okay.
And he did it all four seasons.
Huh.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you don't have to do much. If you're just a voice in a crystal, you just kind of record your lines.
He's sitting at a microphone like me and you are doing right now. So the guys decide they're going to have an EV decathlon to determine who wins EV.
Mm-hmm.
And the EV decathlon has the following categories: armpit noise making competition, balancing ping balls on your nose competition, fishing, juggling, baking. And all of these, they come to her house and knock on the door and they present fish and they're in full chef regalia, hats and coats, and they got cakes they baked and they come in with ping pong balls on their nose. It's really very silly, extremely silly. And then a few days pass and she's in the diner again with Lindsay, and they come in fencing with the full fencing outfits and face masks and swords and everything. She says, look, if y'all get this over with, climb into a ring and slug each other senseless in the name of love. You know, these are little sissy things, baking and fishing and ping pong balls on your nose. If you really care about me, get in a ring and slug it out. And whoever wins, you know, wins.
Did she say that or did her friend say that?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
She didn't say that.
No. Lindsay tells her. Yeah, Lindsay tells her that, not Evie. The friend says that. I knew it was a girl, right?
Right.
So here's an observation I have. Everyone is wearing Reebok high top sneakers.
Oh, didn't notice that.
Because, man, in the late 80s, everybody wore them, including me. Okay, so now we're at the boxing gym. Man, this is where it gets silly. They get into the ring.
The world's smallest ring.
Yeah.
It's like 5x5.
It's definitely not a regulation size boxing ring.
Ain't regulation.
So they're in the boxing ring. And Evie shows up and decides she's going to find a way to make them knock this off, not want to do this. This is where it really got crazy. Because
Evie came off the rails a little bit here. It came off the rails. I was like, oh, all right, this is too far now.
Yeah, this is where I felt the guy come. Because what does she do? Evie shapeshifts into who, Caleb?
Mr. T. Mr. T comes and he's there. I gotta be honest, it's probably the only moment that had me chuckle is when she talked in her voice with Mr. T. When she immediately shapeshifts into Mr. T, she's like,
oh, she talks in her voice. Yeah.
And then she says, oh no, hold on, I gotta fix this.
Yeah.
And then goes into his voice.
So he gets in the ring with them and she talks to them. As they're
dancing around.
Yeah, yeah. And he says she doesn't want either one of you fools or something like that. But he says, I pity the fool who wins this, because then he has to fight me.
And they both fall to the ground.
So she makes him give up on it. So that's it. They both fall down in a ring.
And
then we have a little tag scene at the end, though, where the mom, they're back at the house and the mom's fussing at Evie about cleaning her room.
She comes
in
as Mr. T.
And she's Mr. T.
Uh-huh.
But now it's her voice coming out of Mr. T. Mom, why do I have to, you know? Her mom says, why do you wear so much jewelry? Because, you know, Mr. T's got like 1,000 gold necklaces around his neck and everything. And then Mr. T walks upstairs like pouting. And that's where it ends. Jeez. And I don't even know what to say.
And I was just scratching my head. I'm like, that's it? that's the episode? All right.
She don't choose it. Either one of them. So where we go from here, I don't know.
We have a little weird, let's call it like an Archie love triangle.
Yeah. Betty or Veronica. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
Okay, Caleb, who was your favorite character?
Mr. T.
Not out of the regular series characters, who was your favorite? Evie as Mr. T. But who was your favorite
character? Burt Reynolds.
Okay, so you have none, really.
No, they were all silly. It was ridiculous.
Okay. I have none for my favorite character here, too. The humor meter.
2.
Okay, here's the thing, though. Hear me out here. I gave it an 8.
Oh, my God. An 8? Yeah, compared to Schindler's List. What the heck are you talking about? What's the baseline here?
No.
Because in that point, if that's the case, yeah, an 8.
Okay. No. I gave it an 8, but I have just because of the sheer silliness, because there was some moments when I laughed out of the silliness of it. And you got to admit, when Mr. T shows up, that was funny. It was funny, but in a complete sheer silliness kind of way.
Not in an
intelligent humor kind of way.
I stand with the 2. I stand by my 2.
I understand your 2 completely.
2.5.
Oh, okay. You went up a little. Watchability meter. I got 0. I got no desire to ever watch any of the show.
Yeah, like I don't
again.
Care where it goes.
Yeah.
No.
0, huh?
0.5.
Okay.
It can't be a 0. 0's dead. 0.5.
Okay.
like if I was on a desert island and there was nothing left to do but watch episodes of this, I'd have to. Like if there was nothing to see in the world except for this show, watch this show just to have something to do. Not just sitting silent.
But let's talk about this show, because for one thing, it's in the 80s and everything was different then. We didn't have sophisticated Seinfeld humor. We didn't have that kind of humor then.
Speaking of, Seinfeld's back on Netflix now. And if you go and watch the first couple episodes of Seinfeld, it's extremely dated. Now, it still makes you laugh because I think nostalgia just gets you, but it's dated.
Okay, I'm gonna have to go back and watch.
Yeah, you gotta watch like the first, and the pilot episode was all right.
It wasn't up to Seinfeld level.
No, I mean, it got better quickly, but the pilot episode was just okay.
What would be a podcast about Out of This World without talking about Seinfeld?
Gotta talk about Seinfeld.
But anyway.
Or MASH.
But what I'm saying is, it's of the time, and back then, this was what was on TV. Yeah, we're looking at it with 2021 eyes.
Right.
Back at that time, this was a good show. I mean, it ran for 4 seasons, and we got to give it credit for that. And I would assume it had a very large... not adult audience. I would say the audience was teens. Like, I don't know when this show came on. If it came on Saturday mornings or in the afternoon, or if it was
its time slot would have a lot to do with kind of who they were trying to target. Feels like it would be one of those evening after school type shows.
Next time you see Mary, after you smack her for making you watch this, ask her when she used to watch it. Favorite or LOL moment of the show?
The Mr. T thing was the only moment where I probably even remotely laughed.
Yeah, me too. I have Mr. T.
Oh, you know what? I had one other spot, and it was right before the Mr. T moment when the guy at the gym got in the ring with the 2 guys, and he was like, "I'll referee it," and he split them up for no reason, and it just made like a gesture, like, "Okay, start fighting again." I don't know why that made me laugh a little bit, just because it was so silly.
Yeah,
but yeah, there was probably 2 moments where I may have smiled during that whole thing.
Okay.
2.
I
stand by it too.
A point for each one, and that's why it's 2 on the humor meter.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I just have one two useless trivia things. The first one was about Burt Reynolds that I already told you. The second one was the girl who played Lindsay.
Okay.
Her friend. The friend. Was the original choice to play Evie. She was going to have the lead role. But the producers changed their minds at the last minute. And so they created the character of Lindsay for her. Why? Huh. I don't know why they changed their mind, but I think it was good. I like the girl who plays Evie. So discussion question. Usually I have a few. I only have one. What's wrong with Mary?
Mary, jeez. Mary just had, I guess she was just around at that weird time. Like, she was at that age group that liked these shows, and it just so happens that it was terrible TV in that time. There was a lot of terrible, like, silly shows like this. That was kind of the humor that was good for the time.
Yeah, and she was of the age group that we're talking about here, right? Probably at that time.
Right, like, know? I think if you were to fast forward into the future, because you already did Saved by the Bell, but if you were to go, like, let's say 20 years into the future and do Saved by the Bell again, I don't think the watchability would be there.
When you think about it, Saved by the Bell was just as goofy.
Just as goofy, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't a huge Saved by the Bell fan, but I watched it because that was around during my time. Yeah. Like, I watched it and was into it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like my favorite, most favorite show ever, but I think 15 years from now, it's going to be kind of in the same space as that. Like, what is this? Like,
yeah. All right. So, Mary, keep those requests coming, Mary.
I guess. I think at the end of the day, I just have to be on the podcast for all the terrible shows. It's kind of like my cross to bear at this point. So it's just keep the terrible ones coming. I only got one good one, I think. Well, Maybe two.
You have to admit, once you did Small Wonder, I had to have you back for this one when I saw it.
Well, yeah.
Who else would I give it to?
Small Wonder was terrible. Oh my gosh,
okay.
That was terrible.
Which one was worse, out of Small Wonder and this?
Well, I think watchability, I could watch this one because the acting was better, and for me, Small Wonder, just the absolute travesty of the acting in that is just, it makes it unwatchable. Like, it's like watching a high school play, a bad high school play.
Yeah,
it was bad. I'll even say it was like watching a play in the Hallmark. Like, it was bad.
All right, and I don't give you all the bad shows. I mean,
I had MASH, but I love MASH.
You had MASH, you had Cheers.
Cheers was really good too. Yeah, Cheers was great.
This is your seventh time. You're saying I gave you two. Five bad shows and two good ones?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I had Flying Nun.
That's a great show.
Terrible show.
Hey, guys. I wanted to say I am so excited because we got our first 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And they said it was fun to listen to and a great approach to reviewing old shows. But they think we should watch more than one episode, which is true. I think we need to do, if we do the pilot episode, we need to do the pilot and then one from later in the series. And then we can compare and contrast, because they usually come into their own and get better.
What if there's a way to find like the highest rated episode of said show? Like, what's the most popular episode of the Partridge Family? What's the creme de la creme? What's the best episode?
Right. We'll do that. So thank you, Merrimack Kid, for that review, and we're going to take that
into
advice and start doing that. Anyway, Kim, do you have anything else to say?
No.
All right, Caleb. Well, thank you for coming on this early morning and knocking this one out with me. It was fun. It was fun to watch.
It was fun. It was definitely an interesting show.
We'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that.
Great. Thank you, Caleb. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. This is Michelle, and thank you for joining us for this week's episode. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on Spotify or Apple Podcast, and join our Facebook group, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group, and tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode of Old TV with a New Twist.